Our inheritance is not only promised, we already possess it. Right now, heaven is our home. Do you know what the word kept means that I just said? It means to guard. It means to be taken through enemy territory by a divine escort, and that escort is God. He's going to get us through this world.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. So glad you've tuned in today for Pastor Bill's continuing study in the Epistle of Ephesians. Today, Pastor concludes the message, The Riches of His Grace. Now let's listen in.
It says, all of this has been done, redemption, forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace. The riches, not out of the riches of His grace. See, let's say, for example, that I was Warren Buffett, okay? Does Warren Buffett have any money? He ain't hurting. I mean, what is he, a zillionaire? But if he came to church today and dropped in $10, he would be giving out of his riches. But he was not giving his riches. Do you understand? Jesus, or the Lord God, He didn't just give us a little bit. He gave us everything. Do you understand? When it says, according to His riches of His grace, that, loved one, listen, that is incredible. Look in your Bible. Look at verse 6 with me of chapter 1. I want you to look at this. Ephesians 1, 6. Watch this. To the praise of the glory of His what? There's that word. The glory of His grace. Not just grace. The glory of His grace. Look at verse 7. Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiving of sins. Here it is again, according to the, not just grace, riches of His grace. Verse 8. Now, according to the riches of His grace, what happens? Watch. Which He made to what? Overflow. A lavish overflow. That word means superabound toward us who believe. My Lord. Look at verse 19 of chapter 1. What is the exceeding greatness, not just greatness, exceeding greatness of His power toward us. Ephesians 2, 4, but God who is rich, what is God rich in? His mercy, and because of His, not just His love, His great love. Look at Ephesians 2, 7, that in the ages to come, He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Ephesians 3, 8, look at it. To me, Paul says, to him less than all, the least of the saints, this grace, this incredible, unbelievable, unmerited, undeserved grace of God, he says, this grace was given that I should preach among the Gentiles the what? Unsearchable, the unsearchable riches of Christ. Loved one, listen to me now. Glory, riches of His grace. Exceeding riches of His grace, unsearchable riches of His grace. Listen to me. God gives to us no other way. Do you understand? I look at that and I say, oh, Lord, listen, you know, my forgiveness. Listen now. I have full forgiveness. Not just partial. Not just I'm finally going to have forgiveness. I am, you are fully, completely forgiven in Christ Jesus. And the devil comes up to put fear on you. You're not going to make it. You're not really saved. You're not going to go to heaven. No, listen, he is a liar and the father of all liars. Are you listening to me? Oh, this grace God gives no other way. God doesn't condone our sin. Of course not. No, Jesus is the propitiation. He satisfied the justice of God. He died for us in our place. So what does God do? And rather than dismiss our sin, He assumes it. Grace, the riches of His grace. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is, somebody has to die for the wages of sin. You won't have to. Jesus already did. The wages of sin is eternal death, eternal separation from God forever and ever and ever. But the gift of God, the unsearchable riches of His grace, oh, is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Do you see what God is showing us in these chapters, the work of Jesus Christ on the cross? You know, the Bible says in Isaiah 53:10, it says, it pleased God to bruise him who knew no sin. It pleased him. It pleased God to make his son an offering for sin. He was bruised for our iniquities, our transgressions, and our sins, loved one. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he, meaning God, made him, meaning Jesus, who knew no sin, sin. Why? That you, that me, that the church, that believers might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. You should get on your knees. I should get on my knees this morning when I read that verse. It's sacred. It's holy ground. I look at that and I say, oh, God was made sin. What does that mean? It means that instead of God sentencing Bill Quinn, he sentenced himself for me, for you. God treated the one who knew no sin as if he sinned all the sins of the world. God treated him who knew no sin. He accredited to Jesus every sin that has ever been committed. Jesus died a death deserved only for sinners. That is God's incredible, unbelievable, the richness of his grace. Why? Well, that we would become justified, righteous in the eyes of God. There was a real death, loved one. There was a real suffering on that cross. There's a real tomb, a real resurrection. There was a real imputation. That means to take what belongs to another and give it to them. Jesus paid our sins, and God, what did he do? He took the perfect righteousness, sinless record. Everything that Jesus did pleased God the Father, and he imputed it, not imparted it. He brought it over and says, Bill, it's in your account now. You're just as if you had never sinned. When I see you as if you had walked perfectly, obediently all of your life, never breaking a law. And everything you did pleased me because I see you in my son who purchased you. Are you with me? That is doctrine. Yes, it is. It needs to be taught in the church today and not these feel-good messages that keep everybody entertained. Listen, man, I thank God. There was a real transfer of my sin to Jesus. It really happened. And then there was that real transfer of his righteousness. You need to get that into your heart every time you have a wicked thought or whatever. You need to understand that no one can separate you from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And then he says in verse 8, he says, according to the riches of his grace, watch this now, which he made to what? Abound. That word means superabound. It means lavishly abound. What? God's grace, his riches, the riches of his grace. And who's the object of that? Us. It says toward us. And watch this. In all, literally in every kind of wisdom, in every kind of prudence, that word literally means understanding or insight. God wants you to understand the riches of his grace. Having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself, or literally, he purposed this that he cherished in himself, his plan. Man, I look at that and I say, well, now wait a minute. We're blessed. We're chosen, adopted, accepted, redeemed, forgiven. And what does it say? Having made known to us, that's Paul, of course. That's the other apostles, of course. But now it's made known to us as well. Amen? What is that? That mystery. You know what a mystery is? Let me read the definition from the Greek Bible. It says, a mystery is a sacred secret, previously hidden, but now revealed to God's people. It's not discovered by man's intellect, but only by divine revelation. So what does it mean? It means that God has revealed what was unknown and is now known to you. The mystery. That means God just brought you into his inner circle. Amen? Do you understand? He says, I'm going to share this that I have kept, that I planned in eternity, I am going to share with you. I want you to have it. What is the mystery of his will? Look at verse 10. That in the dispensation of the fullness of the times, he might gather together in one all things. That means everything. In Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth in him. Let me read the Phillips translation, then you'll get it a little better. For God has allowed us to know the secret of his plan. And it is this, he purposed long ago in his sovereign will that all human history should be consummated in Christ, that everything that exists in heaven or earth should find its perfection and fulfillment in him. What a glorious, incredible thing that is coming. Amen? Oh, listen, that's the second coming. That's the millennial reign or the thousand-year reign of Christ. That means that man, when Jesus comes, man's rule is going to be over forever and ever and ever and ever. It means that everything in heaven and everything on earth and everything that there is in the universe is going to be under the headship of Jesus Christ, and we are going to reign with him forever and ever and ever and ever. That belongs to the church. That belongs to you. In that day, as the Bible says it's going to come to pass that every knee will bow. Every knee will bow in heaven, on earth, under the earth. And they will confess, oh, that Jesus Christ is Lord. That's what's going to happen. Look at verse 11. And in him we have, that's a past tense loved one. We have it right now. We've obtained an inheritance. Being predestined according to the purpose of him, meaning God's plan, who works. I love that. It's God who works. Who works. God is the one who created the plan, and now he works his plan. Does that make sense? Yes. Who works all things according to the counsel of his will. The Bible says in Romans that we know that all things work together for good to those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. You're called according to his purpose, loved one. I look at that and I say, oh Lord, now listen to me. The riches of his grace. You have been fully chosen in him. Not I've chosen. No. You have been fully chosen. You have been not just blessed. You have been fully blessed. You have been fully adopted as sons and daughters of God. Are you with me? See, the word fullness of times there, the word is plural. It means to the full. It's like if I had a glass of water and there's not another drop of water. If it did, it would overflow. Listen, the Bible says of his fullness, we have all received. We've all received that. Oh, the incredible riches of his grace. We're not only fully adopted, we are fully accepted in Christ Jesus. Fully accepted. We are fully redeemed. We are fully forgiven because of the riches of his grace. And not only that, we just read it, in him, in Christ, we have been given an inheritance. Really, it means we have been made his inheritance. Think of that. His inheritance, loved one. We are the church. We're the bride of Christ. Oh, man, the body of Christ on this planet. We who were dead. When we get over to Ephesians chapter 2, we who were dead in trespasses and sins. Dead. Not just, I mean, we went through the, we practiced life, but we didn't have life. Let's put it that way. We were dead. We couldn't welcome the things of God into our heart because we were natural, man. We were dead. And we were dead to and loved our sin and didn't even know it. Oh, no, we were slaves to sin, we were slaves to Satan, we were enemies of God, and we were hell-bound. And you know what he did? Apart from any of our own merit, the incredible riches of God. Christian, listen to me. We have been given the right to all the blessings of salvation in Christ Jesus, and we can never, ever lose them. For they are all in him, and we are in him. Amen. It says in 1 Corinthians 3:21, Paul says, don't brag or don't boast in men. And here's why. All things are yours. You're the richest people in the world. All things are yours, whether Paul, Apollos, Cephas, the world, life, death, things present, things to come, all are yours. Listen to me now. Our incredible relationship with Jesus Christ determines our relationship to everything in this universe. Amen? God owns it all, and now we own it all as well. We belong to Him. Since we belong to Him, everything belongs to us as well. Do you see that? He said, the world. Well, we own it. This world's passing away. We've got a brand new one coming, loved one. Yes, not only that, life. He says, life is yours. The source of life, the divine giver of life, Jesus Christ, He lives in you. Death, the last thing that we're ever going to experience. Jesus has abolished death, to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. And he goes on and he says, not only death, he says, things present. Things present. Whatever we're facing right now. Don't. We own you, man. You don't own me. I'm bought at a price. Things future. We don't have to worry about a thing. Not one thing. Why? All things belong to you. All things are yours. And he says, he goes on and he says, and you are Christ. You belong to Jesus. And Christ belongs to God. If you don't belong to Jesus, you know what? Nothing is yours. Nothing. Well, except one thing. At the end, the great white throne judgment. But there's one more thing, Christian, that's yours. Listen, or many things, but just a few I can mention. Romans 8:17. And since your children are heirs, you're heirs of God. God is now our portion. We belong to God. He belongs to us, our Father. We're going to dwell with Him in heaven. He says we're heirs of God. And not only that, we're joint heirs with Christ. Everything that Jesus Christ receives by divine right, we will receive by the riches, the exceeding riches, the unsearchable riches of His grace. Why? God gives no other way but abounding. Does that make sense? Where sin abounds, grace superabounds. Do you understand? Everything God just doesn't love. His great love. It's not just His mercy. It's the riches of His mercy. Everything He does explodes. It's better. It's greater. It's more full than anything else on this earth. And you have to see that in your own heart. Listen, Jesus cannot claim His inheritance apart from you. You're in Him. We're co-heirs with Him. Whatever He gets, He says, here it is, boys. We're all going to get an equal share. Equal. Not just a little piece, an equal share, all of it, each and every one of us. And not only that, the Bible says in 1 Peter 1:3, it says, blessed be the God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to, here it comes now, not just mercy, abundant mercy. You see what I mean? It's, the incredible, unsearchable riches of His grace. Abundant, overflowing, lavish mercy has begotten us again, meaning we're born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, here it comes, to an inheritance, incorruptible, can never be defiled, incorruptible, can never perish, undefiled, never be contaminated, and does not fade away, can never grow old, reserved, or literally guarded in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God through faith, and we're kept through the power of God, it says, through faith, for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Listen, our inheritance is not only promised, we already possess it. Right now, heaven is our home. Do you know what the word kept means that I just said? It means to guard. It means to be taken through enemy territory by a divine escort, and that escort is God. We're pilgrims. We're sojourners. He's going to get us through this world. He who began a good work in you will finish it. Amen? Yes. Listen. God says, you don't have to worry. Why are you being frightened about death? I'm guarding you. I'm guarding your salvation. I'm your rear guard. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I want you to know, God says, that you, because I promised it and I cannot lie, you will arrive in heaven safe because you are under guard. Jesus said in John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice. I know them. They follow me. I give them eternal life. They shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. And then Paul closes out the work of the Son in verse 12. He says that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. Now, that we, maybe that means the Jews there, but it also means us as well. You know, loved one, listen, we need to wake up. You need to wake up, all of us. We have been fully blessed, fully blessed, fully chosen, fully accepted, fully adopted, fully redeemed, fully forgiven in him. How? By the exceeding, overflowing, abundant grace, the inexhaustible, unsearchable grace of the living God. Listen, God is not stingy. He always gives more. Do you understand that? When it says, when you ask for wisdom, he says, God, not a respecter of persons, he gives to all who ask liberally. He always gives you more. Why? He is God. God has given us his all. He's given us all of his love. He's given us all of his grace, all of his peace. Why? Because God can give no other way. No other way. Look at Ephesians 3:20. I know it's time to go, but just bear with me just a couple more verses. Look at Ephesians 3:20. Paul says, oh, now to him who is able to do some things for us. Do you understand where I'm going now? Do you see it? God who does what? Oh, he's able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all, for you and for me, that anything that we ask or think according to the power that works in us. Romans 8:32, it says, he did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall we not with him also freely give us all things? All things, all things, all things belong to you. But you know what? You have to believe that. You have to claim that. You have to own it, because God says, I did it for you. Amen? The work of the Father, the work of the Son. Listen, the Bible says, the psalmist has written that God daily, today's a day, daily loads us with benefits. Every day. I look at this and I say, oh, Lord, you're so good. Jesus said, I have come that you might have just life. Do you see where I'm going? Do you see it? Everything he does is greater and greater and greater. Why are we walking around like we're not going to make it? Or like we're weak little church and I can't witness. Oh, stop that. I don't know how to pray. Yes, you do. You have the unsearchable, unbelievable, exceeding riches of God's unmerited favor resting on you right now. Claim what is yours. Jesus said, I've come that you might have not just life, but you might have life super abundantly. But the devil comes to steal and to kill and destroy. Father, I thank you for your word, your truth, your divine truth. I thank you for doctrine. I thank you, Lord, for doctrine. Oh, praise the Lord, that we know who we are in you and all that you have done for us. And I pray, oh God, in Jesus' name, as every head is bowed and every eye is closed, if you're just a Jesus namer, you're in trouble. His grace has enabled you to be a Jesus follower. Maybe you need to get right with God right now. If that is you, and you say, Bill, I want to get right because I just need to get right. Don't let anyone look around. Let everybody be praying. Why don't you just lift your hand and say, Bill, pray for me, and put it right back down. Don't come. You don't have to come to the altar, any of those things. Just say, Bill, I'm not right, and I want to get right. Yes, God bless you. That's right. I just want to get right. I want to get right with God. I want to experience all that he's given unto me. I want to experience the exceeding greatness of his grace. Lord, you see who lifted their hands. You know every heart. You hear them praying right now. Touch them. Touch them. For you have already blessed them. We love you. We praise you. In Jesus' name. The church says, amen.
Pastor Bill's study continues on Love Never Fails tomorrow, and we trust you'll tune in once again. Thank you, as always, for listening to the program. And until next time, may the Lord bless you. So long, everyone. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.